As we work our way through the Easter season, we notice a development in the readings, the themes. We start out the first couple of weeks with the resurrection appearances and the awe of the whole mystery of his rising from the dead, and then our involvement in that, you know, that somehow it's not just a matter of his rising, but in him we rise too. We have power over death, and we are invited into everlasting life. And then we had the Good Shepherd last week, the notion that Christ is faithful to his flock, and we can know his voice and follow him with certitude and with confidence, secure in his love. And then today we have the vine and the branches, the notion that we're not just in awe of his resurrection, we're not just faithful to him as a flock is to the Good Shepherd, but we are in him. So there's this indwelling, this union, mystical union between Christ and his body, the church. And so the vine image was used in the Old Testament rather effectively. The prophets loved that image, and Israel was the vine, and God planted the vineyard. He rescued them from slavery in Egypt and planted them in Israel. And the image goes that he built a tower and a fence around it, and he watered it, and he fertilized it, and he took care of it with great concern, and yet it yielded wild grapes. So there was a failure on Israel's part. They were specially elect by God, they were carefully nurtured by God, and yet they yielded wild grapes. And so now in the New Testament, God changes the image, and Christ becomes the vine. It's no longer Israel, but Christ and his body replaces the temple, replaces Jerusalem, replaces Israel. And it's no longer a matter of a vine that that is tended by God, but it is God. And we are attached to that, grafted onto that vine. And we have our life in him and through him, and there is no other life outside of that. So if a branch gets cut off, severed from the vine, it just withers and dies, and people gather it up and burn it in the fire. The only way we can have life is in him. Not imitating him, not even following him, but being in him, in spiritual union with him. Well, we celebrate that every Sunday in the Eucharist. We call it Holy Communion, to be in union with him. And this is Johannine language. You know, the gospel is from John today, and the second reading is from the first letter of John, and John loves this indwelling notion. He talks about it all the time, that this union between us and Christ is a dynamic union where the blood, the sap from the vine actually courses through our veins. And it's a Trinitarian image. The Father plants the vine by sending the Son, the Incarnation, into human flesh, and then through his death, resurrection, and sending of the Spirit, we become grafted onto it. And it's the Spirit that joins us to the vine. So you might say that the Spirit is the sap flowing through us. The role of the Spirit, of course, is always to join us to Christ and to keep us there. And so at the end of that second reading, St. John says, the way we know we are part of him, that he dwells in us, is by the Spirit that he sent us. So this union that we have with Christ, we celebrate, of course, in the Eucharist. And we live it in our lives. We have our life in him. And so therefore, we bear fruit. Now, what is the fruit? The fruit is the good works that we do. The fruit is the loving of one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And in that, the Father will be glorified. So, in liturgy here in church and liturgy in life, which are tied together, we glorify God by bearing fruit in our love for one another. We join ourselves to Christ and we glorify the Father. So the Father, who is the source of all, has given us the Son, who has breathed his Spirit upon us in baptism, and now we are one with God. That original unity that was there at the beginning, where everything flows out from God and then is separated, alienated by sin, now there's a restoration, a reconciliation of that, and it's brought back together again. So the union that God always intended for humanity, to be in union with him, is now realized in the Son and in the Spirit. And so we live in the already but not yet of that. It's already happened 2,000 years ago. The church has survived 2,100 years in, you know, guided by the Spirit and in union with the Son. Not that sin has been done away with completely. We know the past sins of the church, the failures of the church, and yet, guided by the Spirit and the Son, she survives. And she looks forward to that end time when all this will be fully realized, when sin will be done away with completely. And we will not only be trying to love one another, we will absolutely love one another without any reservations. That we will be drawn up into Trinitarian life, and in that perfection of love that is within the Trinity, we will be loving with that same love. It's just almost beyond our imagination that we could be without sin, that we could love unconditionally, that we would be more concerned about others than about ourselves, that we would not be living any longer in fear, no longer living in self-absorption, self-concern, but be like the Trinity, absolutely giving and receiving at the same time. But it's already breathed into us by our baptism. And we eat it and we drink it, we commune with it in the Eucharist. And so we have a foretaste of this. We live our lives in the hope that one day we will experience that, but we can already experience that to some limited degree even now.